Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm going to go to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline and talk to our good friend Mike DeFabo from the Post-Gazette, covers the Penguins for a living. And Mike, you look at the tightness of the East. It's amazing. The Penguins won 5 of 6, and yet they lose last night. And if the playoffs started today, I think they would be out of the playoffs. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. We knew coming into this that this was going to be an extremely tight division. When the NHL chose to restructure these divisions, they put 4 of last year's 7 best teams, if you go by points percentage, within the same division. Then, in addition to those 4 teams, there's also the New York Islanders, who actually in the postseason were the best of that bond, best of the, not including that team. They made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. So, it seemed like from the very beginning it was going to be 5 teams competing for 4 spots, and surely enough, that's exactly what's kind of happened here. So we've got the Bruins at the top, followed by the Capitals, Islanders, Flyers, and finally the Penguins. And to me, we've talked about it before, you and I, Paul, on this show. The Boston Bruins were the favorite in Vegas. We believe that they would be the favorite going into the season, and they've definitely showed that to this point. They're sitting atop the division, and at this point, they really look like the team to beat.
Yep, they do. But if you look at where they're at, I mean, it's not like they're running away with a division by any means, right? I mean, they're losing right now to the Rangers.
That just shows you how competitive it is. Where on a nightly basis, really, there's night in, night out, there's going to be good matchups. Even the team that's really surprised me within the East has been the New Jersey Devils. They've kind of been, basement dwelling team for a long time now, but because they've gotten some good draft picks, and then the key for them has been they've got some great goaltending from Mackenzie Blackwood, their young goalie. And even though they're not scoring, they're still kind of struggling to score. They're getting such good goaltending, they've been able to steal a couple games, and they're actually a little bit feisty. So they're 6 teams that have a points percentage of 50% or higher, and they're the 6th team there to go along with those 5 I previously mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like I said, I mean, you look at the division, the 5 that are at the top are probably going to be battling the entire time. But, I mean, Boston and Washington are tied at the top at 24, and the Penguins are at 21, and the Penguins would not be in right now. So, it's the gap is not exactly all that big. With respect to the Penguins, last night, it was just one of those games where the other team played better. They almost came back, though, and stole a point, didn't they?
Yeah, and that's kind of been the story of the season for the Penguins. They've showed a lot of resiliency throughout this year, and it's kind of funny we've asked players about that. And some players will say, yeah, it's great, we show this great character. And other players will say, well, the reason why we have to show that character is because we keep finding ourselves in holes. And there's reasons for it. We could run down the list of things. Earlier in the year was goaltending. Now it's not. Now goaltending's been good. Earlier in the year, the penalty kill wasn't too good. That's kind of flipped around a little bit. The power play has been inconsistent, though, throughout this year. And they've really struggled to get depth scoring. You saw it last night where Jake Guentzel scored. He and Sidney Crosby have been carrying the team atop the points standings in terms of the team point standings throughout the season, but they get a shorthanded goal from Brandon Tanev. But in terms of 5-on-5 production, all they got was the production from the top line. And that's kind of been the story when they've lost games this season, where you've been thinking, where's Malkin? You know, where's some scoring? Where's a surprise goal from the fourth line? The Teddy Bluger line has actually been pretty good this year, but, you know, they're not really counted upon to score on a consistent basis, and they haven't really scored super consistently. So, you know, that's kind of what's missing right now for these Penguins, where if that top line gets shut down, and even last night when they got one goal from that Crosby line, it wasn't enough against a good Capitals team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's obviously, a big thing with this team. You know, over the years has been sort of the depth and the depth of scoring. But you know what? It's one of those things where they're still working on their, at the very least, they're working on their fourth line, and they probably need to get a little bit more out of their third line production-wise. I mean, what can they do with this fourth line to get it going?
Well, unfortunately for the Penguins, it looked like they were going to get Jared McCann back, and he was going to jump right into, you know, either the third or fourth line. And before long, they get Evan Rodriguez back, and then all of a sudden, you kind of have some interesting makings of a good fourth line. But now with the injury to Jason Zucker, that's going to create a situation where every guy is going to kind of be moved up a little bit. And what we thought was going to be a competition within the bottom six is now going to become a competition for that top six spot on the left wing next to Evgeny Malkin. And Zach Aston-Reese got the first crack at it last night. And I think he has a lot of attributes that maybe in the long run he could succeed next to Malkin. He's a more simple kind of player. He's a physical guy that's going to finish every check. He's more of a straight line kind of guy. And actually, he has a great scoring pedigree. In college, he led college hockey in goals his senior year and was a Hobey Baker Award finalist, which is like essentially college hockey's Heisman Trophy. So he was a great college player, and he scored at every level, but it hasn't necessarily translated to the NHL. He has, you know, he had three goals in his first three games here back after injury, but you know, we'll see if he can kind of carry that over. But that's going to be important. So, you know, the most direct competition I see for that spot next to Evgeny Malkin is Zach Aston-Reese versus Jared McCann. When Jared McCann comes in, he is a lefty, he is a left winger, so he would fit in there. And they're paying him kind of top six money to be that kind of guy. And in the past, they have thrust him into that role as a top six guy, even playing him alongside Sidney Crosby at points in his short tenure with the Penguins. But he's been inconsistent. To begin last season, he was absolutely great. He was, people were saying that it was a steal of a trade that Jim Rutherford pulled off when he brought Nick Bjugstad and Jared McCann to Pittsburgh. And at the time, Jared McCann was thought to be like the second piece of that trade, and Nick Bjugstad was the main focal point of it. And people were saying, wow, what a great trade. But then Jared McCann basically went from invaluable to invisible, where he just completely disappeared the second part of the season, ended up being a healthy scratch in the postseason. So when he comes back from injury, I'm really curious to see what happens there, whether he does immediately jump in and get an opportunity. And then if he gets that opportunity, what does he do with it? Because it's important for the Penguins. It's also really important for his career to see how he's able to take advantage of an opportunity like that. So that's really something to watch going forward here in the next couple of days, because it looks like McKinn's really on the verge of returning from injury.
What did you think of the penalty Drew O'Connor took that basically led to the game-winning goal being scored? Did you that to me I thought was a really bad penalty to take at that point in the game.
Yeah, you never want to take a penalty that late in the game in that kind of a tight game when you can – you know, at that point, the Penguins can basically taste at least one point against a tough divisional rival on the road, come back, and then to take a penalty like that, it's not the best. But that's it's kind of just a tough situation, I think. I don't totally fault the kid too much there. Actually, what I fault more – is then once the penalty was committed on the ensuing power play, when Chris Letang broke his stick, you have to find a way to get the defenseman a stick. You know, it's kind of like hockey 101. If you're a forward, you have to get the stick to the defenseman. Or if you're a defenseman, Chris Letang also shares some blame and responsibility in this. You have to go up to a forward and ask for a stick, or you have to go to the bench for a second or do something to get a stick, because you saw exactly what happened. The puck was sitting there at his skates, and what are you supposed to do with it? Like, wave at it, blow on it, kick it, and he couldn't. None of those things worked to get it out of the zone. And then it got even worse when he was supposed to try to defend the net front, and there were two Capitals, one Chris Letang, no stick, goal, game-winning goal. So, you know, I'm with you, Paul. You don't want Drew O'Connor to commit the penalty, but then the execution has to be better from the penalty-killing unit there in terms of doing the right things that they've probably been taught since they were kids playing hockey and, you know, get a stick into the defenseman's hands.
Speaking of Tom Wilson, Mike, and we're talking with Mike DeFabo of the Post-Gazette, it never ceases to amaze me how there are some people who really just get really angry at him and angry about him. But he is the kind of guy, he's a really good player. He's the kind of guy you would love to have on your team, isn't he?
Well, the thing about Tom Wilson, and I think even saying his name, probably some of your listeners are getting angry just hearing his name because of some of the hits he's laid. And let's make no bones about it. He's flat out a dirty player. If you've been suspended four times and you've broken somebody's jaw, Zach Aston-Reese's jaw, and you can cuss them, you're a dirty – that's dirty. That's dirty play, right? And he plays hard. He plays physical. I give him credit for that. And hockey is a sport that's fast, and sometimes it's easy to cross the line. But the thing about him is he's not just some goon skating around, some big meathead that's just like a fourth-line guy that is just out there to try to pick fights with people, and that's all he can do. You know, he plays on the top line from time to time, and he plays on the top penalty or on the top power play, and you saw it last night. He scores the game-winning goal. So he has that mix of being a guy that can change the game in so many different ways. He can change the game by laying a big hit. He can change the game by getting into a fight. And he can change the game by scoring a big, huge goal in a huge situation. And that's exactly what he did last night to the Penguins. So, you know, I'm with you, Paul. I think the same as Steelers fans probably, or Pittsburghers, probably love to have James Harrison on the team because he was an enforcer and people were afraid of him. Or, you know, any number of players over the years who are kind of have that personality where you need to know where they are on the ice or on the field. And, you know, if you're their teammate, they love you. And if you're an opponent, you hate them. You know, that's a very valuable kind of player, especially when they're able to score and add some offense to go along with that physical play.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing. I think that guy, you know, he does a lot of really good things. Well, last one for you. Back-to-back games here coming up against the Islanders on the island. You know, we know what they do and how they do it. What are your thoughts on what they have to do here to at least, you know, get some points out of this?
Yeah, I've been impressed by the way the Penguins have played so far in this season against the Islanders. You know, obviously a couple years back, the Penguins made some costly turnovers and were really frustrated by that kind of trapping system that the Islanders like to play, where they kind of sit back in the neutral zone, wait for you to make a mistake, and then pounce on it and create a counterattack and an odd man rush the other way. And it seems that the Penguins have really learned from their mistakes, and they've played more of a composed style of hockey against the Islanders, and they're going to enter this game 3-1 against the Islanders so far this year. And this is really important as we started the conversation, but maybe to bring things full circle here, Paul, the Islanders are probably going to be one of the teams that the Penguins are fighting for most directly for one of those last playoff spots. So these two games are really huge for the Penguins. If they can come out with at least a split out of these two, you know, not only does it help them in the standings right now, but down the line, I think those could be some really important points.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully we'll do it again soon, and we'll talk to you, buddy.
Yeah, hey, thanks for talking to me, Paul. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, that's Mike DeFabo of the Post-Gazette on Paul's Ice. It's 93.7.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.